beingtheworst.com. It is Being the Worst Podcast, audio apprenticeships for aspiring software craftsmen, with your hosts, Gary Street, and my comrade, Rinat Abdulin. I want to make one thing clear before podcast begins. Some people think they can outsmart me. Maybe. But I haven't met one person who can outsmart DDD. And you think Greg Young and Udi Dhahan invented CQRS? Western propaganda. KGB invented CQRS. But now, my comrades present Being the Worst Podcast.
Thank you, Tristan Vernon, for recording our special KGB intro for this episode. Tristan is the son of Vaughn Vernon, who is a friend of the show and also happens to be the author of the book Implementing Domain-Driven Design, published by Addison Wesley. In fact, our own Rinat Abdulin wrote the aggregates with event sourcing content for that book. You can follow Vaughn on Twitter at Vaughn Vernon. That's V-A-U-G-H-N-V-E-R-N-O-N. And check out his book by going to safaribooksonline.com and searching for Implementing Domain-Driven Design. Thank you again, Tristan and Vaughn, for your support of the show. In this eighth episode, recorded September 20th, 2012, Rinat covers some of his previous obsessions with certain tools and technologies, and reminds us that even the approach we have been learning is also just a tool. The focus of your design should be on the essence of the domain that you are capturing and the problems you are trying to solve, not on specific tools or technologies. Perhaps if Plato was a programmer, he may have reminded us to stay focused on the true forms of things and not on the frameworks. Putting Plato aside, here's Rinat.
Good evening. This is Rinat Abdulin from Ufa. This podcast I will record without Kerry because he's currently stuck in some hotel with some crappy internet connection and without much of possibility of joining me. And we didn't want to delay the Being the Worst podcast too much. So today we will talk about ideas and design obsession. I think that's based on the course of Being the Worst podcast. It's a good time to do that. So far we were talking about really powerful tool for capturing business behaviors, aggregates with event sourcing. And in the subsequent episodes, we'll continue talking about that tool. However, I think it's really important to mention that this is just a tool that is suitable to a really limited set of scenarios. And I want to warn you, or just to prevent you from getting too obsessed with this tool, because the obsession with this can lead you to a wide range of scenarios, nasty ones. In my relatively short development career, I've been through multiple cases where getting obsessed with some idea or concept or technology, it causes too much pain down the road. For example, when I was starting as a developer in .NET world, Microsoft Composite UIs and Smart Clients and Enterprise Libraries were quite popular. And obviously for any new developer, the idea of building modular application that can be composed from separate blocks, which can even be configured and highly reusable, this idea is extremely appealing. So while I was learning, this idea became the obsession. It became the core design principle of the systems. And as you can guess, the resulting applications, the resulting systems, they did fulfill this idea quite nicely. They were highly complicated, they were modular, they followed and used almost all patterns and practices from the patterns and practices guidelines. And obviously, they were a complete mess and held to extend and work further on. Based on that experience, I've learned and tried to move on. The next obsession was with object relational mappers. First, it was XPO, I think it was Express Persistent Objects. Mapper from DevExpress, and then it was Anhibernate. ORM tool, it's usually a framework that is designed to help you to persist data in the databases as if the databases were not relational, as if they were object-oriented. But since there is a really big difference between business objects that we manipulate in our code and relational table schema, because of that disparity, we get an effect called object-relational impedance mismatch. In essence, we have two different sets of ideas, objects and relational tables, and moving code and execution and data between these two extremes, it creates a lot of friction and a lot of confusion. However, at the same time, at the first glance, and if you don't go really deep, object-relational mappers, they make your life much simpler. You can just almost get an object, and with a few mappings, or these mappings can even be auto-generated, persist them into the database. While building systems, I was pushing this idea a little bit further, and based on the object, which can be persisted in the database, I was also auto-generating UI, auto-generating UI actually both for the desktop application, using a really nice set of components, well, they were really nice by then, from DevExpress, and this UI was automatically generated for both the desktop system and web application. And it seemed to be developer's dream, because you got almost fully flexible something where you can define, for example, object called customer, which can have multiple contact objects and also an array of, potential contracts to which you can assign managers. And based on this, a set of business objects, business classes, the entire UI, the entire data storage and management would be auto-generated. Obviously, later down the road, this obsession with highly flexible and extremely configurable and technically extremely generic code, it went down the hill. We got a system that was, once again, it fulfilled this core idea perfectly. It was flexible, it was configurable, but it was pain to do anything. It was extreme pain to add any business logic there or maintain or just to let anybody in. So that was my second biggest mistake, and obviously not the last one. So once again, the core principle, the core idea that I'm trying to deliver to you, if you're getting too excited with some technology or idea or concept, it is too early to get carried away with that thing and subconsciously or consciously substitute it with something real that you're trying to achieve with that tooling. So, for example, when we're talking about the business, using new cool technology like aggregates with event sourcing, for example, it's not the idea, it's not the purpose. The purpose is to help business to make money, to capture the business processes which are worth capturing and which can be automated to make businesses' life easier. Capturing the essence of a business is idea worthy of becoming the central idea of an application. Using event sourcing or using service bus or using object relational mapper, it's merely a supporting tool and it should never become the core design principle. In other words, if you're starting to build a system and you start to think about how would my UI be structured or which tables should I be using or how do I use this framework, then you are immediately on the wrong track, at least in my humble experience with a lot of mistakes. Because you will get the system that is not fulfilling the core principle, but is a slave to a technology. And in practice at LOCAD, we see far too many scenarios where this situation goes really wrong. Imagine an enterprise company that is making billions of euros per year, and it's a really successful business. But there is one big problem. This business is completely strangled by a software that was written 20 years ago with some huge, nice idea that was popular back then. Maybe it was using tables, maybe it was using COBOL as programming language and expressing everything in it, or, I don't know, using XML everywhere. The problem of this approach that shows up 10, 20 years is that business starts getting strangled. It cannot move forward. It just has to see how the competitors, more flexible and younger ones, pass it in the market battle. And this happens just because the core principle, the core focus of the software being implemented, it was not the idea of helping the business. It was not the idea and set of concepts and set of business processes that we call domain. It was a technology. Another nice example of one of my biggest mistakes and getting too much in love with the technology, it was about inversion of control containers. Some time ago, I thought that inversion of control container is how you design systems, because I couldn't figure out any other way. And if with your containers, it seemed to be simple. You just take a class, well, a framework actually, and you pass to this framework a set of interfaces and services. These services can contain dependencies to other services and can contain complex relationships. And this inversion of control container, it helps you to automatically wire all these dependencies together by injecting them, by passing in properties, by allowing even to configure the system without recompiling it. For instance, certain of inversion of control containers, I think actually almost all of them, they support configuration via XML or via some other language. There is at least Boo. I was writing one configuration syntax actually based on the Autofac and Boo. And obviously, such usage of inversion of control containers, at least by such an experienced developer as I am, it gives you impression of design. The design is obsession with such a tool. And actually, it, to some extent, it works. Because this allows to develop systems that would be too complicated to think about otherwise. However, when you push that too far, you get such complex graphs, such complex dependencies, that they are impossible to manage otherwise, and then you start getting side effects. You start get some weird dependency resolution errors. You start getting issues where you have too much dependencies in one service, like 10 dependencies, just because it needs to use all of them, and there is violation of single responsibility principle, and services are no longer coherent, and you're breaking all sorts of things. And in the long run, your system is, which was supposed to be completely well-designed and maintainable, it is no longer maintainable. So once again, this is an example of situation where technology, or the some nice idea, some nice concept and principle, they replace the core design ideas of the system. They replace the sole purpose of the system. And it goes really wrong. And in .NET world, I've been starting with structure map, then I tried Unity, then I went to Castle Windsor, then I became a really huge proponent of Autofac, and then I got burnt with all that stuff and stopped using it altogether. I still think that inversion of control containers are quite a powerful thing if they used properly. However, in current development ecosystem, they are just too overused. And I remember when I mentioned that in the blog posts that use of inversion of control containers is no longer an option because that's too complicated, there were a lot of surprise responses, like, what are you using instead of the inversion of control containers? Okay, so as you see, the sole purpose of inversion of control container is to wire complex services together, to instantiate them, to serve maybe as a factory. But in fact, here we're replacing a few lines of code, maybe like, I don't know, 20 lines, 30, 50 lines of really simple code with a dependency with that acts as a black box into our system and which adds extra complexity. So after we started realizing that and started thinking actually about the system, high-level design of the system, then it became apparent that actually inversion of control container can be replaced by a few simple bootstrap classes. Granted, these bootstrap classes are extremely boring. They can contain, I don't know, maybe 20 lines of highly repetitive code. If you, for example, look at Securus, at bounded context classes, these classes return and wire sets of projections or aggregates or application services or ports or tasks. And pretty much multiple lines in these wirings, they are similar. For instance, instantiate customer tracking projection using these parameters, then instantiate user billing projection, then instantiate total customer summary projection, then instantiate admin user projection, etc., etc. However, this simple and boring code, it replaces a dependency on really complex and unknown framework. And at any point in time, any day, I would clearly prefer a simple and boring code to some potentially highly exciting and interesting idea. Just because ideas, they're in essence worthless, unless this idea is our core domain. In following episodes, we will try to talk a little bit more about core design principles, about the tools and methodologies for capturing like this domain model in software in such way that technology doesn't stand in the way and it's just merely a supporting tool. It's something that you use to express this business idea. However, right now, the most important thing to take away that I want you to have is that we will be talking about really exciting technologies. Technologies that can potentially scale to handle millions of transactions per second on a single thread. Technologies that allow almost infinite scalability for data persistence or data processing. However, these technologies by themselves are worthless if they don't serve the purpose. And the principle here is that in order for these cool technologies to be worth their purpose, worth their potential coolness and value, they have to be used appropriately and fit in the right spot. One vivid, extremely example of a situation where you have a nice combination of really simple technologies focused around a powerful and expressive idea is a recently released Event Store by Gregory Young. This is partially open source project and partially commercial offering. And we're actually planning to bring Gregory Young to this podcast as a guest as well. However, what matters for us now is that this project, essentially Event Store that hosts multiple projections and does a lot of stuff, it is open source. So as a homework for this episode, we will not have classical homework about messages and event sourcing. I encourage you to Google up Event Store or go to geteventstore.com and grab the sources. You will find a code base that is completely astonishing. It's something that I've been learning for half an hour almost every day, and it has been continuously giving me the headache because there are so many relatively simple concepts that are used to express extremely powerful things. Long story short, given the core design of building event-driven event store, Greg managed, using a team of Ukrainian developers in 6 months, build something extremely scalable, something that can handle thousands of transactions per second on commodity hardware, and is extremely clean and can be maintained with relative simplicity and is extremely well tested. It actually reads like a story, like a book. And this level of expressiveness and cleanness in design is something that I personally will have a long way of going for, well, if I ever will be able to reach. So once again, the homework on this episode first is to take away the idea that technologies, no matter how cool they seem, they are worthless. unless they're used to express solution of certain problem that is worth solving. You should never use any single technology as a core design principle. Otherwise, you might end up making a lot of mistakes like I did. Well, not that I will no longer make any mistakes, but still. The second takeaway from this podcast episode is to have a look at Event Store as an example of something that can be built relatively reliably, extremely fast, 6 months or something like this, if you have a clear vision and if you have a core design idea that lends itself to the code. Hopefully, I wasn't too confusing with this episode. And if you have any questions and if you have any comments, please don't hesitate to post them. Actually, like this recording was made almost impromptu, thanks to the fact that there was a lot of positive and extremely encouraging feedback on the previous episodes, and I just didn't want to let you listeners think that being the worst podcast is something that we got tired of. Just we got a little bit too busy with Carrie, but still we'll be recording it. And that's pretty much. Probably Carrie will be adding some additional comments to this episode. Once again, I hope I didn't sound too confusing. I just wanted to make sure that, well, at least to reduce number of possible and relatively painful mistakes in your future development career as you move forward. Obviously, a mistake, if you learn from it, it's not a mistake, it's just a trampoline for moving forward. But being aware of them and being more conscious just increases the probability of getting the most out of mistakes made. Okay, having that said, thank you for listening to this once again confusing episode. Thanks for staying and have a good day.